محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. وقال أيضا: قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا، قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ظل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: ثلاث موبقات: شح مطاع، وهوى متبع، وإعجاب المرء بنفسه. صلوات. The subject of my speech tonight is the concept of ujb and istikthar al-ta'a. Sometimes the shaitan deceives a person and makes him think that his amal are good, or the sifat, the attributes that he has in his qalb, his soul, are good, and that there is no naqs and shortcoming on his part. And this thinking that a person sometimes ends up in thinking in this way, that my a'mal or my sifat and attributes are good and there is no naqs, there is no shortcoming on my part. This thinking causes a person to have an opinion, to make an opinion about himself that I am good. This is strongly condemned in Islam, and anyone who has this thinking is warned by the ulama of akhlaq, the scholars of Islamic morality, that all the ibadat that we may perform with this thinking in our qalb are fasid and unacceptable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that سَيِّئَةٌ تَسُوءُكَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ حَسَنَةٍ تُعْجِبُكَ. A sin that causes you to consider yourself to be bad before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. A sin that causes you to consider yourself to be bad is better as compared to a good deed that causes you to think you are a nice person. There are a lot of people who do some good deeds and then they think, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm such a nice guy. So the naqs and shortcoming in the qalb is ignored. And this is muhlik and devastating for our spiritual advancement. At any level of our life, if we ignore our naqs and shortcomings, we can never continue to advance spiritually. Instead, we are heading towards spiritual destruction. Look at the hadith which I recited from the Holy Prophet that is narrated by Ayatullah al-Uzma ibn Fahd al-Hilli rahmatullahi alayh, one of our greatest scholars of ilmul akhlaq, in his book Uddatul Da'i, that the Prophet has said the salasun mubiqat, three things are devastating. That means it destroys your spirituality. You will be void of any further tawfiq and opportunity of doing khair and goodness in your life. If somebody has any of these three things, he must understand that he does not have any further tawfiq from Allah. And he deserves, of course, the azab and punishment. And he is heading towards destruction. First is shuhun muta'. Shuh means bukhl. Somebody who has bukhl and he's a miser, misery and misery in terms of ignoring our fara'is and duties towards Allah, not just in the financial matters. Ignoring our duties towards Allah is bigger than a person becomes a miser in his money and dollars. That's not the only way where we can become misers. If we ignore our duties, we are also miser towards Allah and bakhil. So any person who has his bukhl being obeyed, he obeys his bukhl. Wa hawan muttaba, and somebody who obeys his desire, our wishes and opinions and desires that we start obeying, that's another sign of our spiritual destruction. And we become maslub tawfiq. We do not receive any further tawfiq from Allah. And the third thing is i'jabul mar'i bi nafsihi, which is the subject of my speech tonight. That means a person becoming mu'jab bi a'malihi. A person considering himself to be good, nice, nothing wrong with me. Just because we may perform few good actions or have few good sifat and attributes in our soul, and because of those few good things and few good attributes, we end up thinking that we are a nice person, ignoring our naqs and shortcomings of the qalb. As soon as we start ignoring our shortcomings and naqs in the qalb, see the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is the ashraful anbiya wal mursaleen, the most superior of all the messengers and all the prophets of God, for whose sake the whole universe is created to be subservient and obedient to his command, and musakhkar, and under his walayat at-taqwiniyya, his absolute authority, the same Holy Prophet who is the most superior of all the prophets of God used to do istighfar 70 times every single day of his life. إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. He said, I certainly do the istighfar towards Allah 70 times every day. So, this is a lesson for us, because Prophet never stand in need of istighfar, because he has no sin and no tarkul awla. But we, of course, are sinners, so this is how we are supposed to remember our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is defined in Ilmul Akhlaq as sururul insan bitasawwur al kamal fi nafsihi wa i'jabuhu bi a'malihi bi dhann tamamiyatiha wa qulusiha wa hasban nafsihi kharijan an hadd al taqsir. That's the legal definition of ujb in Ilmul Akhlaq. That a person starts feeling good in his own, up to his own self, he considers himself to be good. I have some kamal, some perfection in myself. I'm doing wa'ijabuhu bi'amalihi. He considers his actions to be good. And bi'dhanni tamamiyatiha. And he thinks that his actions are perfect. Tamam, complete. وَقُلُوسِهَا. And they are khalis for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are purely for the sake of Allah. He thinks they are pure for the sake of Allah. وَحِسْبَانِ نَفْسِهِ خَارِجًا أَنْ حَدِّ التَّقْصِيرِ. And he considers himself to be above and beyond any shortcoming and naqs and fault. As soon as a person ends up in that stage, this is what is called ujb and khudpasandi. You know, considering ourselves to be good. Allama Madlisi rahmatullahi alayh has mentioned that aksar johal bar in sifat mi bashan chun karhai ke aqlan wa naqlan badas anjam milan. These majority of the jahil people on the planet have this attribute of ujb, that means consider themselves to be good, ignoring their fault of the souls. Allama Madlisi says majority of the ignorant people have this sifat. And sometimes actually our scholars have said that the worst case scenario, what happens in from the worst case for some people is that some are in the initial level of this spiritual illness of ujb and khudpasandi, that they do something good, they really do something good. But then the wrong is that they ignore the remainder of their faults. They ignore what is still remaining in their shortcomings and naqs. That's problematic. That's the first category, which is the initial stage of ujb and khudpasandi. And the second category of ujb and khudpasandi is that the guy is not even doing a good act. He thinks he's doing a good act. Because aqlan and shar'an, the act that he's doing is not categorized to be considered a good act. It was considered to be a bad action or something that was not supposed to be done, untimely act. And he thinks he's doing very well. And these type of people who are doing wrongs, but they think they are doing the right thing, the right stuff, they are the worst among all. The worst in the sense of losing, the biggest losers among all. Look at the verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Kahf, which I recited in the beginning. قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ. Say, shall I inform you, بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, about those who are the biggest losers in terms of their actions? In other words, الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. So we learn in the light of these verses that there are some people who are who think they are doing good actions. On the day of judgment, they will find none of their good actions are available in their book of deeds. There is nothing good available in their book of deeds. All the good deeds they thought were good are not good. They are all gone. You know, they were thinking they are doing good actions, and so they are the ones who are the biggest losers. How does it happen? Because shaitan is playing his role. You know, how the scholars of akhlaq say, dushmane qasam khurdaye insaniyat. He has sworn on Allah's izzat, fa bi izzatika la ughwiyannahum ajma'in. Somebody who has sworn officially in front of Allah in his presence that I swear by your izzat and dignity that I will mislead all of them. Except the mukhlas. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Those are very few people. So you save the few people and all, other than those few, everybody will be confirmed to be misguided by shaitan. So the job of shaitan is tazmeenul a'mal. That's how the shaitan kicks in. The actions that we may be doing, he portrays those actions in the good way, you know. There's nothing wrong with me, nothing wrong with my a'mal. So even my bad a'mal, with all the naqs and shortcoming that I have in my soul and in my actions and in my attributes, he makes me ignore the bad of myself and makes me focus on the good of what I do. So presenting, well, the good that I'm doing with all the naqs and shortcoming is not good. How can that be good? So basically he portrays the naqis and incomplete of our actions in the form of nice looking things. Muzayyan. أَفَمَنْ زُيِّنَ لَهُ سُوءُ عَمَلِهِ فَرَآهُ حَسَنًا. That's how it happens. There are some people who their bad actions are presented by shaitan in the form of muzayyan, decorated, adorned, beautiful looking actions. And he thinks his action is good. So, what's the solution to this problem? Well, before I come to the solution, let me inform you another hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. In this hadith, in Kafi volume number 2, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam informs us that a prophet Musa, which I am paraphrasing this long hadith in my own words, Prophet Musa was sitting somewhere, Shaitan appeared. He was wearing a dress with multicolored dress. When Shaitan came closer, he took off that dress and he stood in front of Prophet Musa and said salam to Prophet Musa. The hadith doesn't say that Prophet Musa replied back to the salam. Why would he reply back? Salam should be replied to, you know, the Muslims, not to the kafir. Shaitan is the biggest of the kuffar. So of course we don't reply back to the kuffar. So Hazrat Musa said to him, who are you? And he said, I am Iblis. Of course there are no hijabat between the prophets and the realities of this universe, so they can see the haqa'iq and realities. That's not in the hadiths as I'm explaining. So then Prophet Musa said to him that what is this dress that you are wearing? What is his dress, you know? He said, this is the dress through which I deceive different people. You know, everybody, in other words, has a one color, one way that works for everybody. There's no one standard format that works for every human to be deceived. For every human, he has to adopt a different format to deceive him. For elderly people, it's better to deceive them with ghibah. You know, they can sit in their gatherings and they can, you know, talk about some other people and do ghibat and tuhmat and namima, chughalkhori, you know, telling this one thing about Mr. A to Mr. B, that, you know, Mr. A said this and this and this about you, and now Mr. A and Mr. B have a fight among each other because this guy informed this news to Mr. B. So this is called namima. This is exactly what happens in the form of Scorpio in the grave. Anybody who performs this attribute in his qalb, he has this attribute, he must be ready to find Scorpio in his graves. If this is the job of Scorpio, what he has been doing back then in the life of dunya, stinging and biting the people with his poisons, making two mu'mineen fight with each other. So he was behaving like a scorpio. That's the justice of Allah to resurrect him in the form of a scorpio on the day of judgment. Allah is adil and just. So everything works for different people. For young, you know, for the youth, a different procedure works, you know. The youth can go to the parties, they can have a dual life, presenting themselves to be very pious and religious, you know, in front of their fathers and mothers. When they do go to college, when they are sitting with their peers, when they're chatting on the computers, you find he's a totally different boy and girl. But he presents hypocritically in front of his father and mother to be a very nice, very pious, very obedient, very noble person. This is a different way the shaitan would deceive him. Maybe ghibat doesn't work for a young boy and girl. So shaitan is not stupid. He will adopt a different way for deceiving different people. So the different colors that he was wearing in the dress, each color was representing different format of deception that is utilized by shaitan to deceive different types of human beings. Then Prophet Musa asked him, أَخْبِرْنِي بِالذَّنْبِ الَّذِي إِذَا أَذْنَبَهُ إِبْنُ آدَمَ اِسْتَحْوَزْتَ عَلَيْهِ. Inform me about a sin that if a son of Adam, that means a human, commits that sin, you will then have control over him. You will have control over him. If that sin is performed, later on you will have the charge and control in your hands, control over that person. Shaitan replied to Prophet Musa, قَالَ إِذَا أَعْجَبَتْهُ نَفْسُهُ. That means when he considers himself to be good, a good guy, a good person, Ujb-Khud-Pasandi that we are talking about, وَاسْتَكْثَرَ عَمَلَهُ, and he considers his action to be a lot. That means we do a little bit good deeds, but we consider a little bit of a good deed to be a lot.
وَصَبُرَ فِي عَيْنِهِ ذَنْبُهُ,
and he considers his own sin to be smaller. His own sin is small. The same sin done by somebody else may be big in our eyes. You know, if I find the same sin that I do, if I find the same sin done by somebody else, I make it really big. If the same sin I do it, I consider it to be very small. I ignore it. I may pay attention to it once or twice, and then later on, it's gone from my mind as if nothing happened. But nothing happened, it's already registered. It's not going to go away, because the angels who are writing are ma'soom. They are infallible angels. They don't forget. So everything is registered. So this scenario, if a person considers his sin to be smaller, his good deed, his actions to be big, and himself to be a good person. If somebody has this situation, then now he must understand that his reins are now in the control of shaitan. Shaitan is actually controlling him. He is no longer under the control and under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the hadith, in Usul al-Kafi, in Kafi we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his wahi and Prophet Daud, Ya Daud, Bashir al-Muznibin wa Unzir al-Siddiqeen. O Daud, give good news, glad tidings to the sinners, and warn the Siddiqeen, those people who are truthfully performing their actions. They are part of the Siddiqeen, you know, those who are truthful in every aspect of their life. Warn those truthful people and give good news and glad tidings to the sinners. And Hazrat Dawood said, قَالَ كَيْفَ أُبَشِّرُ الْمُذْنِبِينَ وَأُنْزِرُ الصِّدِّيقِينَ. How would I do that? Allah replied, يَا دَاوُد, بَشِّرِ الْمُذْنِبِينَ أَنِّي أَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ وَأَعْفُوا عَنِ الذَّنْبِ. Give the good news to the sinners that I accept the tawbah. And I basically, forgive the sin. وَأُنْذِرُ الصِّدِّيقِينَ أَلَّا يُعْجَبُوا بِعَمَالِهِمْ, and warn the truthful people, Siddiqeen, so don't end up in considering their actions to be good,
فإنه ليس عبد أنصبه للحساب إلا هلك.
There is no person I install him for accountability except that he would be, you know, destroyed. He would face halakat. So if we are held accountable with the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no way we can escape his justice, because that's the nature of the human being. You know, we keep on ignoring our, in other words, we keep on ignoring our faults. That's not part of the hadith. So in the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, we find that he has one of his companions. He was walking with his companions. Hazrat Isa is one of those prophets of God who has no house. He never constructed any house for him, never rented any house for him. He used to sleep here and there. He has no house in his entire life. Actually, it is narrated in the history, once Hazrat Isa used to roam around. When we say Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has, you know, in lisahib hadha al-amr shabaham, Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam has shabahat and resemblance with various prophets of God. You know, he resembles to Prophet Musa and Prophet Isa and Prophet Yusuf and our Holy Prophet, and you know, so he has resemblance to various prophets of God from various aspects. So the resemblance that Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam has with Hazrat Isa is as-siyaha. That means just the way Hazrat Isa alayhi salam used to roam around, similarly Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is roaming around. That's the shabahat and resemblance he has. So Hazrat Isa, in one of his travels, he went somewhere and he found a person 700 years old. At that time, his age was 100 years, not 700, but his full lifespan was 700 years long. At that time when Hazrat Isa met him, he was 100 years of age. So Hazrat Isa asked him about a house, you know, and he said, well, I have been told by Allah that my life would be just 700 years old. So I thought 700 years is not worth of making a house. So that's the reason I never constructed a house for myself. So he was 100 years at that time. 600 years was still remaining. And that's where Hazrat Isa told him that in the Akhir Zaman, in the final days, there will be people, most of them, in other words, will have ages less than 100 years in the Akhir Zaman, but they will construct so much houses. And when that person learned this news from this news of Ghaib, this was the news of the unseeable world for him. When he heard this news of Ghaib, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you did not make me one of the people in the Akhir Zaman. He did not create me in the Akhir Zaman, in the final days. So Hazrat Isa used to roam around. And once in his travelings, he was walking with one of his companions, he encountered the water, ocean. Hazrat Isa used to walk over water, isn't that right? So Hazrat Isa said Bismillah Rahman Rahim and started to walk over water. So this companion, the narration informs us from Mi'raj al-Sa'ada that this companion of Prophet Isa also, he was a follower of Prophet Isa, he also said Bismillah Rahman Rahim and he stopped to walk behind Hazrat Isa over the water.
But they were both now walking over water.
In the middle of their walking, this guy started to think,
this is Ruhullah walking in front of me over water. You know, I am also walking over the water. That means if he can walk over water, I can also walk. So what's the fadilat? What makes him superior over me? See, this is how shaitan deceives us.
So as soon as this idea came in his mind, he drowned into the water. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam came to save him, took him out from the water, and he said, "What did you say?" He said, this is the idea which came into my mind, that what's the difference between me and you, because you are also walking over water and I am also doing the same thing, so what makes you superior? So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said that that's why, you know, Allah has his ghazab and wrath over you. So what we learn in the light of this narration, brothers and sisters, is that no matter what level of iman and ma'rifat we may reach in our lives, we have naqs and sins and shortcomings, and at no level, at no stage of our life, we should consider ourselves to be good and superior than others, and at the cost of ignoring our naqs and shortcomings. So even our imams who like the Holy Prophet had no sins and no talqul awla, but they have been always doing istighfar and munajat. Imam Baqir alayhi salam has said, when he saw his father Imam Sajjad alayhi salam doing his, you know, ibadah, dua, Imam Baqir alayhi salam started to cry because of the love he had, because of the sympathy he had towards his father. And his father said to him that bring, you know, some of those books which have the ibadah and worship of Imam Ali alayhi salam written in it. So, and then he says that anna li abika ibadatu Ali. How come your father can have the ibadat, the worship of Imam Ali alayhi salam? That is, how can your father's worship be similar to Imam Ali's worship? Another narration says that he said, وَمَنْ يَقْدِرُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ عَلِي ابْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. Who can do the ibadat of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam? Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa
ajil. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said in his dua of Abu Hamza al-Somali, that خَيْرُكَ إِلَيْنَ نَازِلٌ وَشَرُّنَا إِلَيْكَ صَاعِدٌ. Your khair is descending, is coming down to us. وَشَرُّنَا إِلَيْكَ صَاعِدٌ. And our evil is ascending towards you. يَأْتِيكَ عَنَّا بِعَمَلٍ قَبِيحٍ فلا يمنعك ذلك من ان تحوطنا بنعمك وتتفضل علينا بآلائك.
That means our bad actions are going towards you, but that doesn't stop you from providing your blessings, so much blessings that are surrounding us,
your blessings which are surrounding us, and your fadl that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. So our evil deeds doesn't stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from constantly providing his blessings and his fazl towards us. So our ujb makes our qalb mahjub, and covered up khudpasandi and ujb, that means considering ourselves to be good and ignoring our shortcoming of the qalb and the soul, that makes our qalb mahjub and under the curtain and hijab. So ma min mu'minin illa al-qulubu thalathatun. The hadith from Imam al-Baqir al-Islam says that the qulub, the souls, are three. Qalbun mankusun la ya'furu ala shay'in min al-khayr wa huwa qalbul kafir. The souls are of three types. The first category of the soul is the one which is upside down. Qalbun mankus. La ya'thuru ala shay', doesn't understand nothing, doesn't get nothing from the khair and goodness. Wa huwa qalbul kafir. So there is zero goodness found. There is no goodness in the qalb, in the soul of a kafir person. Wa qalbun fihi nuktatun sawda', فَالْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُّ يَعْتَلِجَانِ. And there is another soul which has a black spot in it, and khair and shar, the goodness and the evil, are at war with each other. You know, there's a constant battle going on inside the soul of a person. Good and bad are at fight with each other constantly. Sometimes we do good deeds, sometimes we do a sin. We again do a good deed, again do a sin. A constant battle of khair and shar taking place inside the soul. The battle between noor and zulmat, in other words, is taking place between the soul constantly. Every sin brings zulmat and darkness, every good deed brings noor and divine light. It's constant battle. Noor erases the zulmat, and then again the sin comes and it removes the noor and divine light out of the soul and makes again the whole soul become dark. The soul becomes dark. So this battle continues in second type of soul. This battle is continued. فَمَا كَانَ مِنْهُ أَقْوَى غَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ. Whichever is stronger overcomes the other. وَقَلْبٌ مَفْتُوحٌ. And the third type of soul is the one which is open. فِيهِ مِصْبَاحٌ. There is a torch in it. يَزْهَرُ فَلَا يُطْفَى نُورُهُ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Which is glittering and shining, and the noor is not going to extinguish away till the day of judgment. وَهُوَ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. That's the qalb and soul of a mu'min, which is shining. So every good deed that a mu'min performs, every bit of taqwa and piety that we increase in our soul, this soul is shining. Just like, you know, the stars are shining when you look in the dark sky, you know, in a clear sky you find the stars shining for us. Similarly, when the angels of Allah look down on the earth, they see the qulub of mu'mineen shining like stars, or maybe stronger in intensity than the stars. Yeah, because of these few people who have the nuraniyat, Allah is basically, because for the sake of the hurmat and respect of those few people who have nuraniyat, Allah is protecting the rest of the community. And that's a fact. You remember the story when Ali ibn Mahziyar, rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great ashab of Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, he went for the ziyarat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam in the time of ghaybat. And when Ibn Mahziyar went there, finally, and you know, he met with the Imam. He went to Kaaba, because Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes for Hajj every season. He met with one of the companions of the Imam, and then Ibn Mahziyar, this companion of the Imam, said to Ibn Mahziyar, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "Al Imam al Mahjub anil Alam. I am seeking the Imam who is hidden from the world." And this companion said to Ibn Mahziyar, "Wama huwa mahjubun ankum, walakin hajabahu su'u amalikum." He is not hiding from you. Your bad deeds are hiding you guys away from him. And the long story short is, then there was a time fixed, and then this companion of the Imam took him to that place where Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was, in somewhere in an uninhabited area. And the long story short is that when this companion of the Imam asked Ibn Mahziyar to stay outside so he can go and take permission first. We don't enter into the buyutun nabi without the izn. La ayyuha alladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan nabiyya illa an yu'zana lakum. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's place is also one of the buyutun nabi, and it's not allowed for anybody to enter without permission. Even if they are the shuhada, the imams who are shaheed, we take izn al-dukhul before entering. So we find he went inside, this companion went inside to take permission, kept Ibn Mahziyar outside, and then when the permission was taken and Ibn Mahziyar went inside, and that's where he met with the Imam alayhi salam, and Imam alayhi salam had said to him at that occasion that, you know, مَلَّذِي بَطَأَ بِكَ. What made you lazy? What didn't allow you to come to see us? قَدْ كُنَّا نَتَوَقَّعُكَ لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا فَمَلَّذِي بَطَأَ بِكَ. We were waiting for you day and night.
So what made you lazy? What made you such that you couldn't come? And he replied to Imam alayhi salam that لَمْ أَجِدْ مَنْ يَدُلُّنِي إِلَى الْآنِ. That means I couldn't find a person who can guide me towards you up till this time. And Imam alayhi salam replied back that لَمْ تَجِدْ أَحَدًا يَدُلُّكَ لَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ كَثَّرْتُمُ الْأَمْوَاتِ. You couldn't find somebody to guide you? No. Actually, in other words, actually you guys have gathered a lot of money. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ كَثَّرْتُمُ الْأَمْوَالِ وَقَطَّعْتُمُ الرَّحِيمِ. And you have performed the قَطْعُ الرَّحِيمِ, broke away from your relatives. And so on, the conversation continued. And that's where Imam alayhi salam said to him that lawla, that was the point which I was trying to bring all of your to that point, that Imam alayhi salam said to Ibn Maziyar that lawla istighfaru ba'dikum, if there wasn't the istighfar that some of you are doing for some others, لَهَلَكَ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا خَوَاصَ الشِّيَعَ. That means if there wasn't the istighfar performed by some towards the rest, everybody would have been died, would have been destroyed. So the entire Islamic community is surviving because there are some Nurani personalities who have gathered so much Nur in their qalb that they are the ones who are doing istighfar on behalf of the rest of the people, and the whole community is surviving and not getting destroyed because of those few people doing this istighfar for the rest. Otherwise, everybody would have been destroyed except the Hawass Shia, the special followers. So basically, look at the dua of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and I'm coming to the end of my speech. Look at the dua of Imam Ali Islam in dua of Sabah, where he says at the end of the dua, Ilahi Qalbi Mahjub. Oh my Lord, that's a very beautiful dua, you know. Dua of Sabah, the sanad is not that, in terms of the sanad, there's a lot of discussion, and a lot of scholars of, you know, Ilm al-Rijal disagree with the authenticity of the sanad itself when it comes to discussion of sanad. But then our scholars say, and our urufa also say, that the dua of sabah itself and its contents doesn't require no sanad, because those words, if you look into those words, no person other than a masoom can say those statements. So, you know, those are one of those, this is one of those duas which actually one of those statements which does not require no sanad. It itself is enough for its authentication. So, Ilahi Qalbi Mahjub. Yasmin, my Lord, my soul is in under the curtain. That means I'm unable to see you. Although Imam Ali used to see. Lam a'bud rabban lam arahu. Didn't he say? I never worshipped a Lord that I didn't see. And lam tarahu al-uyun bi mushahadati al-ayyan. It's not the physical eyes that see Allah, but رَأَتُ الْقُلُوبِ بِحَقَائِقِ الْإِيمَانِ. We see Allah through the realities of Iman. And also he has said, لَمْ أَمَّا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا إِلَّا وَرَأَيْتُ اللَّهَ قَبْلَهُ وَبَعْدَهُ وَمَعَهُ وَفِيهِ. I haven't seen anything except that I saw Allah before that thing, and after that thing, and along with that thing, and in that thing. So Imam Ali used to see Allah 24/7, 2365. So he's teaching us when he says in the dua, Ilahi Qalbi Mahjub, oh my Lord, my soul is under the curtain, that means unable to see you. This is for people like us. We are being trained how to address Allah and seek his dua, seek dua from him. Wa nafsi ma'yub, and my soul, my nafs, myself is faulty. It has aib and fault. Wa aqli maghloob, and my intellect is overwhelmed. That means
And he says, وَهَوَايَ غَالِبٌ, and my wishes and desires are overwhelming. That means the desires, my personal opinions and desires and wishes are overwhelming my intellect. So there are a lot of people who basically are in that stage, that they don't obey what their aql says. The Islamic definition of intellect says they obey what they wish to do, you know, because they feel like doing it. وَطَاعَتِي قَلِيلٌ, and Imam Ali says, my obedience is less, although his obedience is not less. وَمَعْصِيَتِي كَثِيرٌ, actually every single obedience of Allah that will take place till the Day of Judgment, Imam Ali is going to get the reward of all those obediences. And the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is going to get the reward of every single obedience, and likewise all the rest of the Imams are going to get the reward of all the obediences of all the people, because of them the people learn how to obey Allah. If they were not there, nobody would obey Allah. وَمَعْصِيَتِي كَثِيرٌ, and my sin is a lot. وَلِسَانِي مُقِرٌ بِالذُّنُوبِ, and my tongue is confessing with the sins. So he is always ready to confess, although he has no sins. This is how they are teaching us to be prepared to confess. And if we are ready to confess, there's always a room for our salvation. And confessing the sins is contrary to the concept of ujb, because shaitan never wants us to confess our sins. Shaitan wants us to ignore our sins, ignore our shortcomings. So ujb and khudpasandi, considering ourselves to be good, will never allow this person who is undergoing this spiritual illness of ujb and khudpasandi to confess his sins. Anybody who confesses his sins, he will be he can be saved, because when we do the tawbah, we become beloved of Allah. The Holy Prophet has said, At-ta'ibu Habibullah, the person who performs the tawbah is a beloved of Allah. You know, even no matter how big your sin may be, other than shirk, which Allah does not forgive, other than shirk, everything else can be forgiven. You know, what can be a bigger sin than what Hur has done towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam? You know, I can comfortably say there is nobody, you know, in our gathering who has ever done a sin similar to Hur. None of us have committed that kind of jasarat towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Isn't that right? The type of jasarat that Hur did towards Imam Hussain, blocking the way of Imam Hussain. You know, when he put his hand on the reins of the horse, and look at what Imam Hussain said to him at that time, that Sakalatka ummuka ya hur, may your mother sit in your azab. In other words, that means, in other words, that what you did, you deserve to die, and your mother needs to mourn your azab and your death. This is the meaning what we understand in this statement. So what Hur did, he deserves to die. And his mother need to mourn for him, for his death. But then when Hur says to Imam Hussain, if your mother was not Fatimatul Zahra, I would have said the same statement for your mother. But I can't say the same statement for your mother, because that is Fatimatul Zahra. So see, Imam Hussain alayhi salam is actually shaking the conscience of Hur. It's a very huge sin that he blocks the way of the son of Fatimatul Zahra. And when he came to Imam Hussain alayhi salam to block the way, his whole army was thirsty. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he learned that Hur and his army men who came to block his way, they are not friends, they are hostile enemies. Imam Hussain commands his people, Imam Hussain commands to provide water for the whole army. For the whole army, all the water that Imam Hussain had,
the water was opened up for them, even for their horses. And our scholars have mentioned that it was instructed that don't raise the water away from the horse unless it drinks fully, even the horses. And this guy who was standing in the last rank, there were so many ranks of the army men of Hor. The guy who was standing in the last rank at the end, he says in the narration, I was so thirsty and they started to provide water to our army. And I was so thirsty, I thought by the time my turn will arrive, I would have been dead by that time. I was thinking this idea and all of a sudden I found Imam Hussein himself was bringing water for me. Hussein ibn Ali himself brought water with his own hand for that person who is standing at the end of the army. And we find the same Hur who in the night before Ashura, in his own qiyam and tent, he's not going to sleep. He's walking in his khaymah. And his ghulam comes and brings water for him. And he throws the water over the ground. And he doesn't drink. The ghulam gets upset. He says, what happened with my master? He's not drinking. He goes and informs the son of Hur. The son of Hur comes and says to his father, Dad, what happened to you? And he grabs the hand of his son and he takes close in the middle of the night. He takes his son close to the khiyam and tents of Imam Hussein, where the babies and the children are screaming, Al-Atash, Al-Atash, oh thirst, because they were dying of thirst. And Hur said to his son, do you hear to these voices how the children of Ahlul Bayt are crying and screaming for water? I am the one who caused them becoming hungry and thirsty. I am the one who caused their thirst. And this is how Hur is going through. But he recognized his nadim. He recognized his sin. He's ready to confess his sin. So in the morning, he said to his son to tie up his hands. Tie the hands. His hands were tied behind him. And now Hur, along with his son, is going towards Imam Hussein to seek apology from the son of Fatima al-Zahra. And because Hur was constantly, Hur must have constantly been thinking that Hussein is the son of Fatima al-Zahra, I believe. I imagine with my mind. And when he came towards Imam Hussein, the narration says, Hur made himself fell down over the feet of Imam Hussein. And look at the karamat and karam and generosity of Imam Hussein. He doesn't even mention the sin of Hur. Sometimes you forgive the people, but you want them to mention and confess their sin in front of you. And sometimes you are so generous, you don't even want the person to confess his sin in front of you, to make him embarrassed. Imam Hussein is so generous, he doesn't even mention the sin of Hur. He said the sentence, Inzil, which in Arabic, it is said to the guest. That means as if Imam is saying to Hur, become our guest. But now Hur has become the guest of Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein and Hur said to Imam, I'm not going to raise my head until you forgive me. Because he's feeling so much embarrassed before Imam Hussein. And of course Imam Hussein forgave him. And now we find that Hur has arrived and become a guest for Imam Hussein in a time where he cannot even serve food or water to Hur. Earlier when he came, Imam Hussein had served water for him. But now he can't serve anything because he doesn't have water himself. So now we find when Hur came and he's seeking permission from Imam Hussein to go and defend Imam Hussein and to fight the battle, Imam Hussein is not allowing Hur. How would Imam Hussein allow his own guest to go and sacrifice? And finally, when his son was given the permission to go and fight, and the son fought his battle, when he fell down on the ground of Karbala, we find that Imam Hussein learned that Hur is about to go to see his son. to go next to the janazah of his son. And Imam Hussein stopped her from going. He had stopped her from going. And he went himself. You know, because it is so hard for the father to be there next to his son who is dying. I would like to say to my Mawla Imam Hussein that after a while we find Ali Akbar. Your son Ali Akbar will also die. Who will be there to help you, to go along with you next to Ali Akbar? And finally, when Hur also seeks permission and he goes there to fight the battle, we find when Hur fell down, his head, the narration says, head of Hur was turned towards the khayma of Imam Hussein. Because maybe the reason our scholars say, because he was still thinking, because the sin I have done towards Hussein is so big, I don't know whether I'm really forgiven or not. And at that time, when his head was turned towards the khayma, he found somebody came and picked up his head, and his head is now in the lap of Imam Hussein. So Hur came and discovered it is Imam Hussein sitting next to him. And Imam Hussein said to him, Anta Hur kama sammatka ummuka, Anta Hur fi dunya wal akhirah. You are free man, that you are Hur the way your mother has named you, and you are Hur and free in dunya and akhirah. And we find that some of the scholars have narrated that Hur had some injury over his forehead, and the blood was gushing out of his forehead. And look at the generosity and karam and sakhawat of Imam Hussein. He took out the handkerchief of his mother Fatima al-Zahra, and he tied up the handkerchief of Hazrat Fatima over the head of Hur. And I would like to say to Imam that Mawla, after a while, Ali Asghar is also going to be Shaheed. And Ali Asghar is going to get the arrow on his neck. What are you going to put over the neck of Ali Asghar?
لا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين.